Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Great responses here to the conversation we had in the previous segment with Robert Woodson. Some comments like this we definitely love when you have good, wholesome folks like him on. Together as a team, white, black, all races, can combat the hate through our Lord God. We can accomplish anything together. Another person saying, if you don't podcast this Woodson conversation, I'll be very, very disappointed. So I hope you will enjoy this. Why is it the messages like those by you, Mr. Woodson, Mr. Riley, Mr. Soul, Mr. Williams, are never widely disseminated? Well, you know how this works. Now, that's some good common sense to listen to. Thank you for having him on the show. Please have him come on again, and we absolutely will. I will actually be reaching out to Mr. Woodson off the air to have some additional conversation, because I just enjoy engaging, especially people I consider to be elders, genuine elders in the community, who are doing some positive things as opposed to just making noise and making money off of grievance. It's refreshing to see people who are not falling into that. Let's go into some very patient callers here, beginning with Joe in Charlotte. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on, you know, the number one statue that's been coming down is Columbus. And I've talked to people, and I've seen people say online that he did genocide and slavery. And my study of the history doesn't bear that out. But one thing occurred to me. I can't prove it either way. But one thing I can prove, all these leftists who want to criticize somebody that lived 500 years ago, and there's no way they can defend themselves. Well, I try to tell these leftists, because almost all of them who support this thing about Columbus are leftists, I say, what happens if sometime 100 years, 200 years in the future, that that society judges us on the 62, 64 million babies that have been slaughtered in the last 50 years?
Yep, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Most innocent, defenseless blood there is. You know, at the most, there were probably 10 million, even I'll give them 15 million blacks that were killed or enslaved. There were only 4 million at the beginning of the Civil War in America. And then they talk about even all the Indians that may have been killed. That was probably another 10 million. So we're talking 25 million at the most that were affected. And here we are, we're talking 62 to 64 million innocent babies that were being killed, and 99% of them were killed because of convenience.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I very much appreciate the points you've raised here, Joe. By the way, I was looking for, because I thought, could have sworn I saw in my collection of items here, a Babylon Bee on this very subject. And I'm making reference to the virtue signaling that goes on about the past. See, everybody wants to prove how much more virtuous we are than those horrible people. The founders, you know, they were really terrible people. We're so much better. Oh, here it is. Oh, I love this. Thanks for that call, because it queued up for this great Babylon Bee piece. Have you seen this one? Nation that kills 3,000 babies a day feels morally superior to slave owners from 200 years ago. I love this. U.S. Leftists who support killing 3,000 babies a day We're trying to virtue signal, but quickly ran into a problem. There's no one alive to whom they can feel morally superior. So the movement was forced to look to people from 200 years ago to find someone they could somewhat credibly criticize for moral failings. We had a tough time finding people we could feel superior to that are currently living, said Leif Rivers, a white BLM activist in Portland, as he Googled how to tear down a statue if you don't have any muscles. I love this one. So we're forced to turn to the archives. Sure enough, we feel a lot better about our own moral issues when we compare ourselves to the moral failings of people from centuries ago. It's the only way to keep any sense of self-righteousness. Look how much better we are than these people from hundreds of years ago, the baby murder supporter shouted as a statue of Frederick Douglass came tumbling to the ground. Their virtue signaling accomplished, they then returned to protesting for a woman's right to kill her unborn baby at any time for any reason. Man, I tell you, these Babylon Bee posts, they are blistering. It amazes me how people, they have such great vision and looking back on the sins of people 200 years ago, but they can't see their own sin. This is why Jesus himself said what? First, get the freaking plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of someone else's. We don't do that today. Oh, we've got great vision when it comes to other people. It starts with ourselves. It starts with ourselves. Self-examination. And if we don't do that, we're going to get into some big, big trouble. Let's go out to a call from Joe in York. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Vince. I've faced discrimination my whole life in different ways, at different levels. But the culture I was born into was, whatever job you're doing, you do the best job, and someone's going to ask you if you want to work for them. And that's how I got promoted. My whole life was doing the best job. It wasn't based on race, color, or creed. It was based on who are the best workers. And that's the American, that was the American culture. Unfortunately, it's changed. And Jimmy Carter was partly responsible when he said that India is our most favored nation. And he set up a program where anyone from India who had a certain caste level was given a hotel or whatever they wanted to buy, funded totally by the federal government, paid no taxes, guaranteed room occupancy, and guaranteed profit. And the hotels looked like crap compared before that, because the person didn't have to work for it. All I had to do was be of a certain color from a certain country. That's bull crap. We got to go back to the culture I was born into, where the best and the brightest get promoted and run things. Doesn't matter what their color is or what their creed is.
Well, that's ideally the way things should work. And as you know, that's not the way they always do. Coming up, we'll have a conversation about Jerry Falwell Jr. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how this guy still has a job. Well, I do. It's called MONEY, another indictment on American Christianity, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, let's go out to a call from Robert, joining us out of Charlotte. Actually, he has disappeared into thin air. Let's try Bill. Good morning, Bill. actually, everybody's running away. So much for that. I want to quickly get to Jerry Falwell Jr. I don't know how much you've been following this controversy the past few days. This, to me, is one of the weirdest stories that I think I've ever seen. I mean, this is like bizarro world. So, Jerry Falwell Jr., he is the president of Liberty University. Sharp contrast to his dad. I was not a big fan of his dad. But I think there was at least some measure of integrity that his dad had. Anyway, here's the controversy. Jerry Falwell Jr. posted and then deleted a racy picture of himself and a woman seemingly at a party on his yacht. In this picture, Falwell and this woman, described as a friend, appear with their shirts hiked up and pants unzipped with a caption, "Lots of good friends visited us on the yacht. I promise that's only black water in my glass." Ho, 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 ho. Isn't that funny? By the way, just for the heck of it, John, I'm going to send this to you so you can see this picture and tell me what you think. Because I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, beyond the raciness of this picture, I'm just going to be very blunt about it. Why the heck would anybody want to send this picture of themselves out and make this public? I just don't get it at all. As you might expect, there are those who were quite offended and disturbed by this picture. This appears to be a trailer park boys themed party. The scenes are surprising, given that Falwell is president of the largest Christian university in the country. One guest in the video makes a vulgar gesture toward the camera. Some are wearing tight clothes with bellies exposed. Many have cigarettes dangling from their mouths. Initially, some on social media questioned whether Falwell, a married father with three children, was truly the person in the photo with a woman. I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, this has got to be a joke. This has got to be Photoshop, right? At one point, Malachi O'Brien, a fellow with the Falkirk Center, think tank launched by Liberty University, tweeted the picture was not Jerry Falwell. But O'Brien had to later retract his statement, saying, "It was Jerry. I was so wrong. It was a photo taken out of context of the other photos with it."
Hey, Vince, whoever it is, they might want to do a few more crunches. I was just looking at
that. Oh, my goodness. This is what I'm saying, John.
That is unbelievable.
Would you send a picture of yourself like that for any reason?
No, it's highly questionable. I would never do that.
I mean, the only reason you would send that is if you've had too much to drink.
Because I need to do a few crunches myself.
I think we all need to do a few crunches. I mean,
I can't believe that's really him, but I'll just have to look at it some more.
It just absolutely blew my mind that I don't understand this. What is this guy? What's the point? How far have our standards gone down the drain that this is thought to be a good idea? By the way, we should tell you, Jerry Falwell has apologized for this photo. Here's what he said. "I'm going to try to be a good boy. Okay, I'm trying to exercise a great deal of self-control," as I referred to Jerry. Let me just tell you, I'm not a fan of this guy. This guy, to me, is much more American than he is Christian. I'm just going to be blunt about this. Let me rephrase that. He's much more into Americanism and tribalism than he is into Christianity. That ought to be very apparent. He apologized for posting this picture with unzipped pants and arm around a woman. Also defended the incident as a vacation costume party that was just in good fun. "I've apologized to everybody," Falwell said in an interview. "And I've promised my kids I'm going to try to be a good boy from here on out." Really? By the way, this is his wife's assistant in the photo. So he referred to her and said, "She's a sweetheart and I should never have put it up and embarrassed her." Well, yeah. By the way, she's pregnant, as I understand it. She is pregnant. So I have to really give a big shout out to my friend Congressman Mark Walker, a man who has ties to Liberty University. Yesterday, he's called for Jerry Falwell Jr. to resign. And this is not just a one-time thing. Here's what Mark Walker said. Jerry Falwell Jr.'s ongoing behavior is appalling. As a music faculty advisory board member and former instructor at Liberty, I'm convinced Jerry Falwell should step down. None of us are perfect, but students, faculty, alumni, we deserve better. We deserve better. I'm with him. The university president has faced several other controversies this year. You may remember this one in June. Falwell tweeted he would only wear a face mask if it featured a picture from Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's yearbook depicting a man in blackface and a man in Ku Klux Klan regalia. He later apologized after several black football players and faculty of the school condemned the tweet. Even after the apology, some players announced their intention to transfer to other schools. So what do you think? I mean, is this being nitpicky? My big grievance, well, I wouldn't even call it a grievance. My big beef with Jerry Falwell Jr. is I believe this man is an idolater promoting the gospel of Donald Trump. And he's been a much better apologist for the president than he has for the gospel. I know a lot of wonderful, wonderful people who have gone to Liberty University, and they're very, very fine, upstanding Christian people. I do for the life of me, understand. This is about business, and this is one of the reasons why the gospel has such a horrible reputation in America. My perspective, anyway. Robert in Charlotte, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Vince. I appreciate you taking my phone call. You know, in today's day and age, nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, I had a front row seat to the whole Jim Baker thing way back in the day, you know, living here in Charlotte at that time. And, you know, of course, he's back on TV now, begging for money, things like that. So,
not with coronavirus cures, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just a crazy world we're living in. But I wanted to mention that I really enjoyed hearing the conversation with Robert Woodson. I've heard him speak before, and just a very, very intelligent man, and really enjoyed that. But wanted to also mention to you that yesterday when you mentioned that that thing that was on Facebook or whatever about a person that was born in 1900, the first time that I read that, right there was my grandfather, who was born in 1901, which was my mother's father. And my grandfather lived until he was 96, until 1997. And I remember speaking with him about those days and what that was like, especially going through the Great Depression. And I always remember him telling me that, you know, here he was. I had a master's or doctorate degree in education, and things were so bad. He was working for his brother-in-law.
We've got a hard break here. Hold on through the break if you can. Stay with us. Before the break, we were having a conversation with Robert, and he was telling us a story about a relative who spanned that time period, beginning around 1900. Sorry for the hard break we had there. I'll let you pick up with the story you were sharing there, Robert.
Okay, thank you, Vince. Yeah, it was my grandfather. It was my mother's dad, and yeah, he was born in 1901. So the point of the whole story was when you talked about that yesterday, it hit home for me because that was my grandfather right there. I mean, and all the stuff that he and my grandmother had gone through over the course of their lifetime from 1901 to 1997, it was just amazing to sit there and talk with him and hear him tell me, you know, what he had gone through, you know, and they just, you know, they just picked it up and moved on. And I do hope that things can get better in our country. The racial tension in our country is terrible. And I think a lot of this is being orchestrated by the politicians, no matter what side you're on.
It's very intentional. Did you ever get any sense of any, and this is what I think because of the lack of understanding of history and experiencing anything of substance,
right.
People are so fragile, so shaken by things.
Oh, yes.
You never got this sense out of your grandfather, did you? They rode with the punches, didn't they?
Absolutely. My grandparents were like that. And like I said, they saw some tough times, and but they persevered, made no excuses, and did a good job in raising my mom, and, you know, and was a great example for me and my brothers and sisters. And I just had a very interesting encounter. I was out here at the FedEx in Pineville and was standing in there and was talking to a black gentleman, and super, super nice guy. And we got to talking, and I said, you know, it'd be nice if more people could do this, where you could have civil conversation with each other without people just going at each other. And, you know, we exchanged phone numbers, and I said, you know, I'd like to, you know, get together with you sometime. So I appreciate you taking my call, Vince.
Well, terrific. I'm glad to hear you're doing this. This is the kind of thing we need to be doing more of. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Let's go next out to Stan in Charlotte. Good morning.
Hey, Vince. How are
you doing? Well, sir.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Church today in America, which you remember the Pastor Luke Club here in Charlotte, and with all the things that go on with Christians, and how much attacks go on Christians, how in America today is acceptable to actually be a Christian? How do you actually do that and participate?
I mean, how? I'm not sure I get the question you're asking here.
The question: Jesus Christ showed us the way to do it.
Right.
Most of the world did not think he knew what he was doing so much, so they crucified him. So
he right.
is a It is a hard subject, and so there's all
yes.
these churches out there. And when you become a church, you have to be not part of an organization of churches, and then you have to get out of the organization, but it becomes political. How would you practice your Christian faith in America today?
Oh, you've really asked a loaded question there. And just make it very simple. The scripture says, you know, that as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. That's got to be the key thing. That at the end of the day, in your relationship with God, you let the Spirit of God lead you. Let Him connect you with people who are other believers that you relate to as family, and walk out your profession boldly. I mean, I don't want to make it sound simple. I think the message itself is simple. But the walking out, yes, it's challenging, because the world around you, whether it's the world itself or even the church system, it sometimes complicates that journey. So I don't know how helpful that is, but that's what you never want to miss, being led by the Spirit of God.
Oh, well, thank you, Ben. That helps a lot.
Yeah, appreciate your call there, Stan. By the way, I had an interesting conversation yesterday evening with a friend of mine I had not talked with in quite some time. And there's a variety of reasons I've not commented about this a great deal, but I have to tell you, I have seen some really horrible stuff in the Christian landscape in recent years in regard to marriage and family. And when I say horrible, I'm talking about a complete breakdown of fidelity. And here's what I'm talking about. We have, for instance, in the idea of marriage and relationships, I think we, for a long time, we've, for good reason, promoted this idea that marriage is about till death do us part. And I'm finding more and more people who are finding excuses other than adultery just to not be married anymore. You would be amazed how many of these conversations I've had. Well, my husband's just too fragile, or my wife is too this, or, and I'm listening to this and it just blows my mind. Because this has been an erosion that's taken place over a period of time. This didn't just happen overnight. But I've certainly noticed this in my lifetime, that this has become a the same worldly standards that drive people outside the church are driving so many people within the church to make really bad decisions. Can I just help you with something? And if this helps one person, I'll be very thankful for this. I had a conversation with a friend of mine I had not talked to in quite some time until last night. And he's in a very challenging situation in his marriage. Let me just tell you something. This is a freebie for you. If you do not have a healthy cross-pollination within your marriage, a fellowship of people who can help you, then it's not healthy at all. Young men, young women, you need older men and women to provide counsel and encouragement and direction and support for you. If you don't have that, you are asking for trouble. Big trouble. If you're a person who does not like to get outside help, does not like to talk with people about your, quote, private life, you're asking for trouble. Don't do that, and don't do that to your partner. So many problems result from this mindset of, quote, privacy. It's a dangerous road to go down. So what it means is we need to be people who are disclosing and relational with people and opening up and being transparent about our lives, not just the good things that are going on, but the things that aren't going so well. And we'll be amazed how much we can get help from people who know better than us. As you know, the landscape with the coronavirus has been quite confusing at times because there's so much conflicting information out there. By the way, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on air, but do you remember a few weeks ago when we had the doctors who came out in support of using a hydroxychloroquine, the big news conference for the frontline doctors, and we posted something about this on the Facebook pages for both radio stations. And all the websites, all these Facebook pages were throttled because of it, because this was thought to be wrong information. It just blows my mind. And then we have this. Governor Mike DeWine and those close to him have all tested negative for the coronavirus just hours after a different test turned up positive for the governor. Following a rapid test Thursday that indicated DeWine had COVID-19, he was swabbed again in the afternoon using a more standard test. That test result came up negative, as did tests administered to his wife, Fran, and members of his staff. Now, the governor's office seemed to point to newer testing methods when explaining DeWine's positive result initially. He received an antigen test in Cleveland prior to a scheduled meeting with the president that was subsequently canceled. A faster but more unproven method than the more common PCR test he underwent later in Columbus. So the question is, which one of these tests do you believe? Both DeWine and his wife will be tested again Saturday out of an abundance of caution to make sure neither actually has the virus. But at this point, the office declared they're confident they don't believe the governor actually has the disease. This is so maddening on so many levels. Time for us to take a look at the day in history as we travel down to our upstate studio and our good friend Lonzo, eager to answer a few questions for us. How are you doing today? Aren't you glad it's Friday?
I am So glad it's Friday, and you're absolutely right. I'm eager. Can't wait.
All righty. We have 7 questions. I hope we can get to all of these. Beginning in 1782, this president in 1782 authorized the creation. I'll tell you the president. It was Washington. He created this particular award for soldiers wounded in combat. What do they receive and still receive to this day when they're wounded in combat?
Purple Heart?
Purple Heart is correct. 1794, this was a protest against a federal tax on distilled spirits. Rebels actually burned the regional tax inspector's home, and Washington had to send in 13,000 troops in response. What was this particular rebellion called? One you could drink to.
I don't remember the name of it.
Johnny, do you want to give this a try?
Oh, was that a tea party?
No, this was the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh. You did say alcohol, Johnny.
Oh, well.
The Whiskey Rebellion.
I was thinking
rebellion.
Of Long Island iced tea, but that's
okay. 1888. Boy, we take this for granted. But I think every single one of us has these as an entry point to our homes. Theo Van Cannell, Philadelphia, received patent 387-571 for this product. What is it?
A door?
Yes, we'll give this to you. The revolving door. That was invented in 1888. Pretty cool, huh?
Well, revolving door, that's the thing that you don't... I don't have one of those in my house. I guess you don't know.
Well, everybody does. You have to have a revolving door.
No. Anyway.
1959. Explorer 6. This was a satellite that we sent up. And one of the most stunning things that these satellites do is provide images of what? Looking back where they came from.
The Earth?
The Earth. You're absolutely right. A stunning picture of the Earth produced by Explorer 6. 1987, American Lynn Cox swam 2.7 miles across the very cold Bering Strait. First person to do so. And she received a warm welcome on the other side from this country.
Russia.
You're right. It was the Soviets on the other side. 2.7 miles. Man, I cannot imagine. That 2.7 miles must have seemed like 20. As cold as it is up there. 1990, Operation Desert Shield. Troops deployed to discourage this person from invading Saudi Arabia in 1990. Who was it?
Saddam Hussein.
Yes, trying to discourage him from invading the Arabian Peninsula. 2000. This person announced he was picking Connecticut's Joe Lieberman as his running mate.
Oh, I should know this.
You
said Lieberman, and I'm laughing, and I can't remember now.
Well, he kind of lost his presidential bid.
Oh, yeah.
He also wrote a book called Inconvenient Truth.
Al Gore.
You're right. It's Al Gore. And we have this little tidbit.
I'm not the only one trying to forget Al Gore.
Yeah, for good reason. So did you hear the news about John Wick 5? There is going to be a John Wick 5. They're going to shoot it back-to-back with John Wick 4.
Yes.
So that's what's going on here. It's in the works.
But how can they up what they did in the last one? I mean, the glass? I mean, there's only so much you can... I can't wait, though.
Yeah, it's currently scheduled to be released May 27th, 2022, if we're still around then. They're preparing scripts now for the 2 installments.
What is he a script for?
Memorial Day 2022 is when this is going to be out. So, yeah, boy, it's going to be a long time, isn't it? Between now and then, based on the way this year has gone. Anyway, we're out of time. Have yourselves a great weekend, folks. Be safe out there, and God bless you.